Close to 14,000 glider aircraft were manufactured for combat roles in the European theater of World War II. The gliders first saw duty in Italy and subsequently played a vital role in delivering troops and materiel during the D-Day invasion of Normandy. Today, only 5 glider aircraft remain in the world, and one is showcased at the Silent Wings Museum in Lubbock, Texas. During World War II, glider training bases were located across America, and Lubbock, Texas served as one of the training facilities. More than 5,000 glider pilots received their wings before shipping out overseas. Today, just a stone's throw from the old South Plains Army Air Corps field is the Silent Wings Museum with an incredible array of historic artifacts, including a fully restored CG-4A glider. Come along and join Eddie Grigsby, Assistant Museum Manager at the Silent Wings Museum.
My name is Eddie Grigsby, and I'm the Assistant Manager of the Silent Wings Museum here in Lubbock, Texas.
Tell us about the Silent Wings Museum, because this training for the gliders took place right here. This is the airfield, correct?
That is correct. The grounds that were the museum is on was actually the original tent city while they were building the South Plains Army Airfield on the other side of where the current terminal is at. But the museum here is the only museum in the world that's solely dedicated to telling the story of the World War II military glider program and the glider pilot.
You have some incredible artifacts here, including a glider or two.
Yes, we have a very rare bird. It's a fully restored military issue CG-4A. It's one of 7 known complete aircraft in the world. We've helped, and other organizations have helped some other organizations build 2 more to add to the display.
And the ones that survived, were they more training aircraft that never went overseas? Is that how they survived?
Pretty much. They were either still left on the premises. The one that we have here was actually discovered in the 70s on the rooftop of a tire store in Fresno, California. The association made a deal with them, and they purchased it, got it, and then started the restoration in the 70s.
Tell us about some of the most impressive things that you would see here and why it's worth coming to visit the museum.
What's really impressive about this museum is the glider pilots themselves had to train. It was the first time and the only time in the American history that a pilot trained for a one-way trip. There was no turning the plane around or taking it off. It had no engines, so once you landed and you were on the ground, you had to fight right along with the infantry.
They jumped from pilot and co-pilot to being an infantryman.
Absolutely. That's what made it unique, is these guys wanted to be, and it was volunteer. They had to volunteer for this program. And the fact that they did this, I'm amazed. I really am.
And it was pretty rough, crude conditions. I mean, talk about a basic aircraft. It's like a Piper Cub blown up to carry troops in a Jeep.
Sure. The glider itself is just a thin fabric over some plywood and a little bit of steel tubing. So it had plenty of air conditioning, as in it was cold, but it had nothing to keep you warm except for your leather jackets, your gear. So
let's talk about primary mission and role in World War II. First in Italy and then in Normandy, right?
Right. The primary role, the CG-4A glider, the CG stands for cargo glider, and then the 4A is the designation for the style of the fuselage and so forth. All the glider pilots, they would tell you it was the CG stood really for combat glider. But there was no armament, there was no weapons, so it really wasn't a combat, but it flew into combat missions. It took in troops, it took in reinforcements, it took in howitzers, it took in jeeps, it took in everything that was needed to supply the ground forces.
These aircraft did not land on a landing strip. They landed in farmers' fields, and yet many of them were able to survive that landing and to be picked up and towed out or dismantled and hauled away. Talk to us about that survivability of this rickety, crude fabric aircraft.
You're correct. The gliders were reused. 25% of the gliders that were used in combat were retrieved, whether either it was dismantled and pulled out on trailer, or it was used with a snatch pickup, where a CG-4A would fly by with a pickup system and just pull it up off the ground.
A C-47 would fly by.
Yeah, C-47. I said CG-4A. Yeah, yeah. So I'm sorry. C-47 could pick up a CG-4A if it had the winch and everything on board to do so. The glider itself carried a multitude of payloads in And it could also carry out wounded. It also could carry out vital prisoners of war that needed to be taken back to headquarters for interrogation and so forth.
During the war effort, how many of the gliders were manufactured and saw duty?
Ooh.
Just roughly.
A lot more of the gliders were used in training than they thought they would use, because it was not really designed to be used over and over again. So in training, where it had to fly several times a day, they were finding out that they were in the shop a lot trying to get repairs. So there was over 1,000 gliders used in Normandy. There was 100 through Sicily. And out of this almost 14,000 gliders that were built, I would say a third to half were actually saw combat or used in a combat mission.
Now, how critical and vital a role did the glider play? If they had not existed, would it have made things tougher, say, at Normandy?
Well, the problem with the delivery system, let's say you have normal airborne troops that jump from a plane. As they fly over, your group could be scattered over a quarter of a mile. The thing with the glider, it's a pinpoint land. Where they land, they come out, they're an effective fighting force right off the bat. There is no, let's gather everyone together, let's find the Jeep, let's find where did it land. That took all that out of it.
And also, there's that stealth issue. Talk about that for a moment.
Sure. The aircraft itself did not make a noise in flight. The C-47, once they cut the ties and the CG-4A was on its own, there was no powered engines to make noise. The glider troops inside would say there was a little bit of vibration that you could hear the canvas. It had a little drumming sound inside. But outside the glider, it was quiet.
And another dynamic that they utilized were night landings, correct?
That is correct. A lot of them were early morning landings at the break of dawn. So it wasn't like a total dark landing. But they did experiment with some of that. But mainly it was like at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. landings. Hopefully everyone was still asleep.
So if somebody came out to see the glider museum, tell us about where it is, what they would see. Like you have the movie that's really awesome.
The museum is located in Lubbock, Texas. We're just right outside city limits on Interstate I-27. We're on the west side of the airport. We're exit 9 off I-27. What you'll see right out front, we have a C-47 on static display out front. And then inside, and that was the official tow plane for glider going into combat. And then inside, we have the fully restored military issue CG-4A. We have an L-3D on display. We have a TG-4 cell plane hanging from the ceiling. We have two different styles of cockpits on display, so you can see the progression. The glider itself, the CG-4A, from the time that it had started in production and time it ended, there was over 1,000 changes or modifications made to the blueprints as it was in production. And each one of those modifications was to make it safer, to make it last longer. It was an enhancement. If you'd like to find out more information on the museum, you can check out our website, which is silentwingsmuseum.com. We also have a little bit of a presence on Facebook as well. You can find us there. And you can always give us a call if you would like. And the phone number there is area code 806-775-3049, our direct line to the front. Website is going to be silentwingsmuseum.com. And my name is Eddie Grigsby.
Eddie, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Lubbock, Texas.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.